Join us for PR Safari, a podcast by Center for Public Relations. PR Safari, your ultimate guide to navigate the complex PR landscape in Africa. Find us at www.cpr.africa.
Hello, my name is Chris Wangalwa. Our guest and guide for this episode is Dr. Karen Jerop. Dr. Jerop is a social scientist and a lecturer at Alupe University, and her main area of focus is health communication. Among the communication courses she teaches is human communication to health practitioners. Dr. Jerop therefore takes us through health communication.
I want to posit there is communication in health and there is health communication. How different are these two phrases?
Health communication is communication between the health practitioner and the patient, health practitioner and another health practitioner. For example, you may have a physician and a therapist. Also, you may have health practitioner communicating to a caregiver to inform them about the well-being of an individual, to inform them about the preventive measures, treatment. That is health communication. Communication in health is a communicator communicating health issues. You have a communicator being employed to work in an health organization. And in this case, they are communicating maybe internal issues, health campaigns, advocacy. They could be doing branding. They could be doing external communication. They could be doing health education. That is corporate communication.
Which is to say that a communication professional may be practicing health communication if they are equipping health practitioners to be able to communicate effectively whatever it is they've gone to school for, to communicate well with their patients or to communicate well amongst themselves in a way that the patient ends up having a good experience.
Yeah, when a communication person is educating the medical practitioners on how to carry out their day-to-day activities, I would categorize it under health communication.
I would like to rope in a different way of looking at it. Knowing that health communication happens amongst health practitioners and health practitioners to patients, right?
Mm-hmm.
The advisory that I think the communication person does, therefore, would be, I have seen that the patient is complaining that they were not treated well by this doctor because there was attitude from the doctor, because the doctor was not looking at them, because there was, say, a table in between the case you gave us of an envelope. The communication professional is supposed to equip the medical practitioner to not anymore hand over an envelope as if it is money. So they train this practitioner to be able to communicate in a way that has empathy, in a way that has understanding, and therefore that becomes health communication.
You are supposed to listen. You are supposed to empathize. You are supposed to create a rapport. That is what you will be educated to do in health communication. Because, Chris, for instance, if you go to an hospital today and you communicate about death analysis within 5 years who have died maybe because of road accidents, would you say that that is health communication?
No.
But you're communicating within health vicinity.
But that is not health communication.
Yes. Now, you've gone to the hospital and you are taking us through what you do day to day as a communicator in that hospital. Is that health communication?
Corporate communication.
It would be corporate communication because you are communicating about the institution itself. You are not telling us that this is the procedure of doing ABCD. If this is the procedure of maybe those children who have been born with jaundice, when a mother gives birth and we realize a child has been born with jaundice, when you are communicating to the mother, telling the mother, this is what you are supposed to do. The first step is this, the second step is this. From the medical perspective, it is health communication. It depends on who is saying it, to who.
And therefore, the communication professional is practicing health communication by virtue of empowering. There is also other elements. And remember, in 1 minute, we could be practicing health communication. In another, we are practicing corporate. As a medical practitioner, you always practice health communication.
Yeah, because you can't practice if you are not in a position to communicate, whether verbally or non-verbally. Because when a patient comes in, other than creating a rapport, there is history taking. For you to get the history of this patient, you have to communicate. You can't just say, I am a medical practitioner. So long as I know how to diagnose the problem, it is not my business to communicate. Miscommunication can be a problem to the diagnosis, or it could be a problem to the problem which was in existence. Because if you give a patient a drug and you only say, take it 1 times 4, you don't give details of how are you supposed
what
to take
what 1 times 4 means.
What is 1 times 4? Is it once after an hour? Is it 4 drugs the same time once? Because you can only indicate 1 times 4. Somebody will might interpret it to mean, take 4 drugs once. Another one will interpret to mean, take 1 drug 4 times a day.
But what is that 4 times?
Others will even take after an hour. After an hour, you remember, oh, they said 4 times. And because of the pain one goes through, they are impatient to wait for the next 6 hours. So you take 1 drug. After 2 hours or 1 hour, you still feel the pain. You go for the next drug until you finish the 4 within 4 hours.
Let's assume somebody works in a health facility. They are communication professionals. Is it possible that they may never perform health communication?
It is possible. In communication department, for instance, we would be having more than one person. You may be designated to do advocacy, to do corporate communication, to do crisis management, among other things, because communication is wide. You may not be able to do health communication because maybe someone else within that docket is doing it.
And therefore, the one who's doing that is now a health communication professional.
Not necessarily, but sometimes you would be communicating health issues and it would be you are communicating within health. Not necessarily health communication, but you communicate health issues.
You also mentioned something to do with therapy within communication.
Yes, I have always wanted to know, from the medical perspective, how do we communicate this disease which people don't want to talk about? In case you are suffering from this disease, how will you be able to communicate what you are going through? And that is why I did a study on exploring therapeutic communication, just to understand the experience of cervical cancer patients and their caregivers. Why caregivers? Because the caregivers are also patients in a way.
Uh-huh.
In the process of taking care of a patient for a very long time, you also get sick. We tend to ignore them. I wanted to know, what is the experience of taking care of a sick person? Someone suffering from cervical cancer. This person doesn't want to talk about it. This is a disease which people hardly want to talk about. So I thought it would be also good not only to look at the patients, but also the caregivers. And the experience I got was a bit intriguing because the first question I wanted to know is, how did you know that you are sick? Others were saying, after going through a lot of misdiagnoses, they later learned that whatever they were going through was not ulcers, but it was cervical cancer. Others would tell you that they were informed by their loved ones. Others, the doctors, of course, explained to them what they were going through and what to do after that. But the most interesting bit of all these are 2 patients. One of the patients told me that she was handed an envelope by the secretary and she didn't know the content. She didn't know whether the test was positive or negative. The doctor was not around. I could not understand whether the patient was the one pushing to be given the results, or it was the doctor who said the patient be given the results, because procedurally that should not be the case. The second one is a patient who was admitted in the hospital, cancer ward, and one of the patients was asking this lady, which cancer are you suffering from? She was like, I don't have a cancer. So why are you here? This is a cancer ward. I later realized that the family members chose to hide the information from the patient because they felt telling the patient that she was suffering from cervical cancer stage 4 would drain her more, and they thought it would just be good if she gets pain management in hospital quietly rather than just telling her the truth. With that, you can easily see that communication is something which we really need to put more emphasis, not only in terms of diagnosis, but also in terms of managing the disease. When we talk of therapeutic communication, we are saying it is a process in which the patients are assisted to have better understanding of their illness while encouraging them to freely express their ideas and feelings. So when one comes out to share what they are going through, it is in a way enabling them to heal because they would be able to express what has been bothering them for a very long time. And having the courage alone to share with someone else is one step to healing. The main objective of communication as therapy is to positively influence treatment, care, and the recovery process.
Therefore, for us as communication professionals, what are we to do to be able to achieve what would be expected of therapy?
Number one is learn how to listen, because when this person is coming to you, sometimes they don't even need a solution. They only need someone to listen to them. And that is why in communication, listening is key. Whenever you are communicating with someone, don't only focus to pass the information, but also focus to get feedback. Listen to this patient. Listen to this person who has come to you with a problem. Sometimes they may not be patients. It could even be your colleague. They may be going through a lot of problems, maybe fatigue, maybe the work environment is not good. They only need someone to talk to, or it could even be social problems back at home, and it is affecting their work. The only thing they need is time and your ears. When you are in a position to listen and gauge the thoughts of this person, and also give suggestions based on what they are telling you, look at their perceptions on how they perceive the world and help them to understand certain things. Sometimes when somebody talks, they are able to see the world in a different way.
It reminds me of a time when we had this project in Masai Mara, and one of the things we were supposed to do was to meet management, more of focus group discussion, to just get to find out what was going on in the organization. And everybody had come with this notion that we were going to have, you know, serious conversation. And we introduced a very simple question for everyone. How are you? How was your day today? From when you woke up to when you came to work? Or how was your day yesterday? How is your day each time you come to work? How does your day start and end? And when each one of them explained to us how their day flows, we realized where the problem in the institution was.
Yeah, by doing that, you are sharing your emotions. So when it comes to emotion sharing, we are building a relationship. By sharing what you are going through as staff and management, you are building trust. You are also opening doors for these people to just tell you what they have been going through. Counseling, for example, we don't have medicine. It is about sharing our experiences and coming up with solutions. So taking time to listen to someone is also a solution to certain problems, which take us to hospital.
Thank you very much, Karen. It was a pleasure learning about health communication, and hope to learn more. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.